Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. As I preach the word here, I want to recap what Angel did last week. Our brother preached that we are better together. And that is exactly what the Bible teaches, the importance of one another relationships. And also, when you study out the book of Acts, you see that early church formed a community. They experienced new opportunities together. They learned about Jesus together. They were able to stay together because they not only did life together, I believe they spent a lot of time in prayer together. And you know, when you go through and look at how much the first church prayed, it's convicting. I'm not talking about individual prayer. We do a good job of individual prayer, but I'm talking about the corporate body. Brothers and sisters coming together in small groups or even as a larger body of believers to pray. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about the importance of prayer for the corporate body. And you know, the title of my message is Prayer Helps Us Stay Together. You know, it's hard for people to stay together. I mean, it is hard for even two people to make it. So how in the world can hundreds of people stay together or thousands of people stay together, remain united, remain close, remain a family who are doing what God wants us to do? You know, there are so many songs out there about breaking up, and I believe that's just a part of our culture now. We don't mind walking away. You know, I looked up some of the top breakup songs of all time, a song by Outkast, Miss Jackson. Everyone knows Whitney Houston, I Will Always Love You. And that other sad love breakup song, I Can't Make You Love Me. You Ought to Know Me, Alanis Morissette. And the number one breakup song of all time, according to the stats, was a song entitled Purple Rain. I never meant to cause you sorrow. I never meant to cause you any pain. I only wanted to one time see you laughing. I only wanted to see you laughing in the purple rain. Purple rain, purple. Oh, y'all know the song. Good old Prince. It is difficult to stay together. Now, as Christians, we have the best opportunity, the best shot of creating a unified group of people moving in the same direction for one reason, to bring glory to God. I am preaching this sermon because we're going into a new season. God willing, very, very soon we go into this building, but we don't want the building to become a monument. We're not worshiping the facility. We want to utilize this building to help us build stronger community bonds. Community bonds with those who are not yet followers of Jesus, and also to strengthen the bonds of those of us who are striving to follow Jesus. In Acts chapter 1, verse 9 through 14, right after Jesus spoke those words, the disciples saw him being lifted into the sky and disappearing into a cloud. As they stared into the sky watching Jesus ascend, two men in white robes suddenly appeared beside them. They told the startled disciples, "Galileans, why are you staring up into the sky? Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, but he will come back in the same manner that you saw him ascend." So there it is. Jesus has spent 3 years with these brothers and sisters. He's like, I got to go home. That's it. It's over. But you have my Holy Spirit. I'm coming back. And he starts floating on up. And the brothers and sisters are looking up. And two angels appear like, "Guys, what are y'all doing? Why are y'all standing there looking up in the sky?" He's coming back. Now, what the angels encouraged them to do, go and do what Jesus told you to do. The disciples left Mount Carmel, returned to Jerusalem, which was less than a mile away. Arriving there, they went into a large second floor room to pray. That is how the ministry started. The ministry was bathed, covered, anointed in prayer. The brothers and sisters came together. They took all the lessons they had learned from Jesus, and they were ready to go and teach the world. But before they went out there to do the Lord's work, they prepared themselves through prayer. How are we doing with corporate prayer, with our small groups being united around a cause in prayer? You know, as I said earlier, we're going into this new season. You know, we've been talking about it. It's really going to happen. We got to prepare for the future. And one of the things I want us to do as we are in our small groups, we got to understand the nature of the society we live in. The world is growing darker. What is right is perceived to be wrong. What is wrong is lauded as right. There's so much controversy going on right now. And Satan is having a field day. The devil himself wants to take as many people to hell as he possibly can. People are confused. This is the best time to preach the word. This is the best time to have conviction about the Bible. But also, it's important to remember, not everybody's going to agree with it. We got to have courage and we got to have boldness. Our early brothers and sisters had courage and boldness in a time of great persecution. Generally, the bolder and the more faithful a local church gets in its witness of Christ, the greater the satanic oppositions. So what does that mean? How do we respond when we're being opposed, when people are negative about us, when people are persecuting us? That should drive us to our knees in prayer. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 23, as soon as they were released from custody, Peter and John went to the other believers and explained all that had happened with the high priest and the elders. When the believers heard their report, they raised their voice in unity and prayed, "Lord Yahweh, you are the Lord of all. You created the universe, the earth, the sky, the sea, and everything that is in them. And you spoke by the Holy Spirit through your servant David, our father, saying, 'How dare the nations plan a rebellion, ranting and raging against the Lord Most High? Their foolish plots are futile. Look at how the kings on the earth take their stand when the rulers scheming and consuming together against God and his anointed Messiah.' In fact, Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Jews and non-Jews, met together to take their stand against your holy servant, Jesus the Messiah. They did to him all that your purpose and will had determined according to the destiny you had marked out for him. So now, Lord, listen to their threats to harm us. Empower us as your servants to speak the word of God freely and courageously." And it says in the King James, to speak the word boldly. Stretch out your hand. Do miracles. Do amazing signs and wonders. And it says in verse 31, as they prayed, the earth shook beneath them, causing the building they were in to tremble. I would have loved to have been in this prayer meeting. They prayed so fervently, so passionately, that the facility shook. And that was God's way of saying, "I got you." And they left there and they boldly proclaimed the word. One of the things I want us to do when we get in that building, I want us to drop to our knees and pray for boldness. We got work to do to the glory of God. And we're going to need a level of boldness, a level of courage that we have not yet needed, because we are truly in a spiritual battle. But guess what? God has already won. And that's what encourages me, because I got a sneak peek at the end, and you can too, is the book of Revelation, and Jesus comes back, and there's a new heaven and a new earth, and there's a new reign. God wins. But in the midst of this, we feel a lot. That's why we need to pray. We're in a difficult season. Earlier, Sean read the prayer request, and there's so much death. I have a couple of students. One lost his sister. One lost his grandmother. Funeral homes are overwhelmed. There's so much death. Talking to one brother, there's confusion. Should we gather to mourn our loved ones? Should we not? How can we do it? There is a lot going on. And right now, what we need is to pray for deliverance. We need to pray for the hand of God to move in our lives, our brothers and sisters' lives, but in this country. We're going through a lot, and I don't know how we're going to get out of this without supernatural strength from God. We need to pray about the sufferings of members with illness, with these critical cases that people are going through with their health, with our healthcare providers. We have brothers and sisters, friends and family who are worn out emotionally. They are feeling overwhelmed because almost 2 years now, they've been giving and giving and giving. We got people on different sides of the spectrum talking about the vaccine. We need supernatural intervention. That's what's got to happen. Something miraculous. And I believe that God may be waiting on his Christians, on the brothers and sisters, for us to fall to our knees and pray. You know, you can read Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 17, and this talks about when the church was suffering because a leader, Peter, was going through something. You know, it says in verse 1, during this period, King Herod incited persecution against the church, causing great harm to the believers. He even led the apostle Jacob, John's brother, had him beheaded. When Herod realized how much this pleased the Jewish leaders, he had Peter arrested and thrown into prison during the Feast of the Passover. 16 soldiers were assigned to guard him until Herod could bring him to public trial. Immediately after the Passover celebrations were over, the church went into a season of intense intercession, asking God to free him. So what the church did when a difficult situation arose, they would intercede. That means somebody would say, oh, we know Peter is praying, but guess what? I'm going to pray for Peter. You're going to pray for Peter. Our small group is going to pray for Peter. In fact, the whole church, we're going to petition God. And thousands of voices would float up to the throne of God. And God heard. In verse 6, the night before Herod planned to bring him to trial, he made sure that Peter was securely bound with two chains. Peter was sound asleep between two soldiers, with additional guards stationed outside his cell door. When all at once an angel of the Lord appeared, filling his prison cell with a brilliant light, the angel struck Peter on the side to awaken him and said, "Hurry up, let's go." Instantly, the chains fell off his wrist. Then the angel took him, told him, get dressed, put on your sandals, bring your cloak, follow me. So here Peter is, he's chained up between all these soldiers. An angel comes into the cell. This was nothing short of miraculous. And I believe right now we need to see some miraculous occurrences taking place in our lives. So the story goes on that Peter left the cell. And then I like this in verse 12. It says Peter, you know, thought he was having a vision. But then when he woke up, like, you know what? This ain't a vision. This is God. God has delivered me. In verse 12, when he realized this, he decided to go to the home of Mary and her son, John Mark. The house was filled with people praying. When he knocked on the door to the courtyard, a young servant girl named Rhoda got up to see who it was. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so excited that she forgot to open the door, but ran back into the house to announce, Peter is standing outside. So Peter knocking on the door, who is it? It's a Peter, I'm free. Oh my goodness. She got so excited. Guys, what we're praying about, we're praying and God's answered the prayer. You know, it's powerful to be in the midst of prayer and God has already answered the prayer. God has already answered the prayer. See, we need corporate prayer right now. We need to see the hand of God move in ways that an unbeliever will stand back and say, that was God. That was God. No man, no laws, no individuals did this. It was only God. We have much we want to do to the glory of God. We need your prayers for wisdom. You know, I found a lot of this in an article online, and I'm going to send it out to the leaders, because I want you to know that many people are at the same place when it comes to our walk with God. I believe what God is doing, he's pulling believers together. And finally, walls are being torn down of what separates us, and we're looking at what binds us together. We need your prayers. As one of the ministry leaders and one of the leaders in the church, we need your prayers for wisdom for this ministry. In Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 4, the church at Antioch gathered for prayer, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Lord called Barnabas and Saul to the first missionary journey. So they also today, we can, as a local church, come together to pray for wisdom. They said, you know what? We know we got to get the word out. Where should we go? Who should we send? How should all this transpire? And they said, let's pray about it. You know what? There's a lot that we got to get done. There's so much that we need to do to the glory of God. And we're going to come in. There's going to be a lot of zeal, a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of great ideas. But I promise you this. Do not get your feelings hurt if you say, I got an idea. And I said, well, let's pray about it. Let's pray about it. In fact, I am going to pull together the elders, pull together the mature people in the church, and we're going to create a ministry that's specifically focused on prayer. And if you're a part of our virtual ministry, I want you to be a part of our prayer ministry. And we're going to send out lists of things, ideas that you can pray about. And we're thankful that you give your contribution. We're thankful that you give support. But I want to ask you to join our prayer ministry. Some of you may come from a religious background, and they call it intercessors. Basically, I need a group of people who will wake up daily and devote themselves to prayer for this church. Because I don't know what all we need to do. I don't know what all God wants us to do, but God knows what he wants us to do, and God knows how he needs for us to do it. And if we bathe this ministry in prayer, we just wash this ministry in prayer, we're going to see amazing occurrences. It's time for this nation to change, not just have a building. It is time for us. How many people do you need to have to see the world shaken? I mean, Jesus did it with 12. And then it was 120 believers. Then it grew to 3,000. Then it grew to 5,000. And more people, because that handful of initial disciples just prayed. I was praying the other morning, and this thought came to mind. What if, as Christians, instead of getting together to talk about problems, somebody in the group would say, hey, let's pray about that. It's easy for us to look at the weaknesses, to look at the problems. Man, dating, what, this is crazy. The pandemic has changed all this, and single people aren't happy, and who can they find, and will they find a spouse? When was the last time a group of people got together and prayed about this? When was the last time? You know, it's so easy to criticize the preacher and to criticize the leaders and to criticize what's not right and what's not good and blah, and to go on and on and on in negativity. But when was the last time someone in the group said, hey, we know the problems. Let's pray about it. I want us to spend more time praying than complaining, because there's a lot of issues right now. I know there are issues I got in my life, and we got stuff we've got to work through in our small group. We got stuff we got to work through with this, with that. There's always something going on, but I believe God can give us the wisdom to make it through. You know, I talked about breakup songs, but you know, there is a good old Al Green song about let's stay together. You know, I believe we definitely are better together. I believe we can accomplish more to the grace of God together. But you know what? I pray there will be a spirit of love, a spirit of unity. And no matter what we go through, whether good or bad, happy or sad, let's decide we will stay together, not out of obligation, not out of I have nowhere else to go, because we're so in love with Jesus. And that's what we need to think about, that Jesus, I'm so in love with you. Whatever you want me to do is all right with me, because you make me feel so brand new. And I want to spend my life worshiping you. Let's stay together. Let Jesus be the motivation. Let Jesus be the glue. And we accomplish that through prayer. As we take communion right now, I want us to think about not just ourselves, but our group. Let's think about our small group. And as we are taking that bread that represents the broken body, the fruit of the vine that represents the blood that was shed, let's think about how grateful we are, or how grateful we should be. If we need to repent, that's okay. To be in a collective, to be in a family, in a community of men and women striving to do the right thing. Let's go to God in prayer. Father and God, we love you. And God, we're so grateful for the way you love us. God, thank you so much for the example of our early brothers and sisters. And God, I confess I fall short. There are times I complain. There are times I spend too much time focused on the negative than spending time in prayer. And God, I want to thank you right now. I want to thank you, God, for the marriage you've given me, God, for the children you've given me. I want to thank you for the small group that you've given me, God, of men and women who are trying to do the right thing, God, or for the numerous small groups in this church who are trying to do the right thing, God. And I pray that as we go into this new season, Father, we will go in with a sense of total dependence upon you. Thank you for your son sacrificing his body so that we could be saved. And we ask these prayers in your son's name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.